This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those bit swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
We have arrived to the end of the week. It is Friday. It is time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us. Taking you till 8 o'clock this evening. Jam-packed program in about 10 minutes. Lynn Worthy from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today will join us. Next hour, we are going to talk with Ben Arnett. We'll preview Mizzou and Kansas. Huge basketball game coming up on Sunday. Our weekly Friday conversation with Kevin Wheeler will be coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. This is our final show before we head to Dallas for baseball's winter meetings. We'll be broadcasting live from the Hilton down in Dallas starting on Monday as we tell you what's going on. And we don't know exactly what's going to happen. All we know is that everybody in baseball will be together and will be ripe for moves to be made, whether they're actually made or not. Who knows? I want to start with this, and this is kind of the big conversation of the day. Spoke about this on the Gas House Gang with Bernie Miklas earlier today. We'll replay that tonight at 8 o'clock once we get done. I'll talk a little bit about it with Lynn Worthy in a bit and with Kevin Wheeler next hour. The comments that were made by Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. And I'd remind you that Mo will have his weekly Sunday morning appearance with Tom Ackerman coming up during sports on a Sunday morning. And I'm sure Tom will ask him some follow-ups on, based off the reporting that we got from Katie Wu. What I'm trying to figure out right now is, like, what exactly the message is from the Cardinals. What are the expectations for this upcoming season? Because there's, I don't know if it's mixed messaging going on. I don't know if it's a changing message. And it's, look, it's fine if it's a changing message. Things change. Things happen. Sonny Gray says, I want to be a Cardinal. Wilson Contreras says, I want to be a Cardinal. You get your TV deal done with FanDuel Sports Network. You you get sports gambling legalized in the state of Missouri. Like, there's nothing wrong with messaging changing based off circumstances changing. So I'm not being critical of the message changing, but I think the message has changed a little bit. And does it, how much does it matter, I guess, is the question. So the message that I feel like has changed, when we showed up for the press conference near the end of the baseball season, right afterwards, where Heim Bloom was announced as the next president of baseball operations, the main focus of that press conference, other than the actual like moves that are being made, what Heim's going to be doing this year and what he's going to be doing next year and beyond with the organization, part of the focus of that press conference was the fact that the Cardinals are cutting payroll and giving an opportunity to go with more younger players, and that there was a possibility that the team could take a step back this upcoming season. So we've kind of been running with that. That's what we've been talking about ever since. Now, there was another Zoom conference that we had, I don't know, a month and a half later. And I felt like the messaging had started to change a little bit. But still, we're hearing some of the same things. And now it feels like, yes, they're saying that it is about playing the kids and about giving certain young players opportunities, and not just opportunities, but giving them runway to be able to fail. So if a Jordan Walker just really struggles out of the gate, guess what? He's going to be running in and starting in right field every night. Nolan Gorman's really struggling. Guess what? He's going to be in the lineup every day. That they want to get those guys 600 at bats, things like that, no matter the production. So that hasn't changed. But we did not hear much about how much the team would compete this upcoming season, how much they would contend. That wasn't, and maybe that was a bad job by us in the media on not like asking that very direct question. Hey, do you expect to have a team that can contend for a division title? Do you expect to have a team that can do something like do you contend for a playoff spot? Whatever. I don't really remember if that exact question was asked or not. Maybe it was, and it wasn't really answered. I don't know. But that hasn't been part of the messaging up until here recently. And if you would have read, and I hope you do read, and I hope you have a subscription to The Athletic, because Katie Wu does a fantastic job covering the Cardinals. She spoke with John Mozeliak. And it was under the thought process of, okay, is this team going to trade Ryan Helsley? Is this team going to trade Eric Fetty? The two guys that probably can bring you the most back if you move on from them. And right now, the indication is that that's not going to happen. Now, is that posturing? It might be. Is it that the market right now isn't ripe for those kind of moves to be made? You know, especially when it comes to Helsley, there are a lot of closers out there. A ton of closers out there that are going to be available. And some high-end closers as well. Devin Williams is likely going to be traded by the Brewers. Pete Fairbanks, the St. Louis guy, could easily be traded by the Rays. And then there's a bunch of other guys out there that are pretty darn good that may end up getting moved as well. You're not selling low on Ryan Helsley. You're either selling high or you're not selling at all. That's pretty simple. So maybe when they talk about they're not going to trade Helsley, it's because right now the market isn't really in a place where a team's going to give that much for him, because they feel like if they can't get at least what you're getting out of Helsley, they can get close for a lesser cost. Maybe that's what's going on, but it seems like the messaging has changed a little bit from us not really talking about the Cardinals being a competitive team this year that can contend for a playoff spot, to now that being the messaging and the idea that Ryan Helsley might not get traded. Eric Fetty might not get traded, that they're not really shopping those guys right now. It hasn't been, those terms have not been put on Nolan Arenado. Nobody has denied the fact that the Cardinals are shopping Arenado, but read Katie's story today. There's no guarantee, that a Nolan Arenado deal ends up getting done either. And we'll talk about this a lot more later on in the show. You don't trade Arenado. All of a sudden, you look at the roster makeup and the ability to get certain young guys, you know, playing time and that runway and potentially 600 at bats. Like, just where do they get it from? The numbers are the numbers, and it becomes very, very challenging to do some of the things that the Cardinals have indicated that they'd like to do this year if an Arenado is still around. But maybe he will be, and they'll figure it all out. So that's a narrative. That's a storyline that certainly is going to continue into next week. We'll talk a little bit about that with Lynn Worthy. He joins us in just a moment or so. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. I'll tell you what, Cardinals beat writers for the Post-Dispatch and STL today working overtime. I'm looking up at our MLB Network screen in our studios, and I see the face of Derek Gould. And as Derek's talking on TV, we're going to bring on via the radio Lynn Worthy, who does cover the Cardinals again for the Post-Dispatch and STL today. Lynn, appreciate you taking some time with us in front of the baseball winter meetings. How are you?
I'm doing good. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. It's been a while since we chatted, so thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Same to you as well. Let's just start with this, because there's been some reporting here recently, and there were some things said in the Post-Dispatch previously, and then it was kind of confirmed by The Athletic today. Sounds like the Cardinals are almost changing the messaging a little bit for this upcoming season, where there's a lot more talk about being competitive and things like that. Do you agree? Like, do you feel like the messaging is changing a little bit right now?
I don't know if it's changing. I think the idea of, you know, reset versus rebuild is part of it. And I think that that's part of the reason that they kept hitting reset. Because I think if when you hear rebuild, it's you're going to take a couple steps backwards. Like, you're going to have, you know, you're expecting losing record. You're expecting, you know, a couple of down years. And I think that's why they tried to stay away from that. At the same time, I think the level of success they reach is probably going to be almost entirely is probably a little bit of a stretch, but it's going to be based on the improvements of some of the young guys. So however much improvement you see from some of the guys who have sort of, you know, been up and down or been inconsistent. I think that's going to ultimately decide how much progress they actually make as a team, or how much success they have as a team. But I think that that's where there's a little bit, you know, you hear John Mozeliak with a little bit of optimism about, oh, we're going to be a little bit better than people think. I think that's based on, well, if these guys play to what they think that they're capable of, then that's where that maybe happens. Of course, that's not a guarantee. There's nothing guaranteed.
Does it really come down to Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker in terms of guys stepping forward, because those are the guys that could potentially be middle of the order run producing bats?
I think that's a big part of it. I mean, to me, this next year is going to be about Nolan Gorman. It's going to be about Jordan Walker. It's going to be about Lars Nootbaar. It's going to be about, you know, Ivan Herrera. It's going to be about those guys finding out exactly where they fit, what they can be at the major league level, what they can be long term. And I think that's why there's sort of going to be this reset, or whatever you want to call it, year, is because they need to figure those things out. I mean, you know, obviously there's, you know, I'm sure you hear from it as much as I have, you know, the folks who say, well, they've made bad decisions on guys that they kept too long, or guys that they got rid of and then they flourished somewhere else. I think that's part of what this next year is going to be about, is figuring out where they feel like these guys are so they can make those decisions going forward.
The reporting recently has been also that the team's not jumping to trade Ryan Helsley, that they're not jumping to trade Eric Fetty. Those are two guys that have a lot of value. I think Fetty's value has been gone way up, as we've seen the deals that Severino and Montas and Boyd have signed. All of a sudden, Fetty at $7.5 million looks so much more valuable than even before. Do you buy the idea that those guys are not going to get traded, or is this more posturing and waiting to see maybe what comes back to the Cardinals after some other things happen this offseason?
With Freddie, I guess I'd buy it with Freddie, mostly because when they acquired him, I think a big part of that was that he had term left, and also it gives them, you know, a little bit of leeway to not have to rush some of the young guys. I mean, obviously we saw, you know, with Pallante, he got his run last year and was able to sort of thrive as they gave him more time. Some of their pitching prospects are still, you know, don't have a whole lot of experience in the upper minors, at least the names that people, you know, are sort of anxious to see, whether that's a Quinn Matthews, who jumped multiple levels and only had four starts at AAA last year. Tink Hens, who was spent all year at AA. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, you could, you know, move them aggressively, but at the same time, if you have people like Freddie in place, who you feel like you have an idea of what you're going to get from him, you know, you can sort of project with some comfortability what he's going to give you, then you don't have to sort of force the issue with some of these guys who may still not be ready yet. With Helsley, I think that one I feel like could go either way. I feel like there's some posturing going on there, and there's also potentially a lot of back-end relievers available on the market, you know, whether it's trades or free agency. I mean, you're talking about Devin Williams. You're talking about potentially Miller out in Oakland, even though there's some reporting that says they won't move him. So there's guys who are also potentially available, whether it's this offseason or going into, you know, the season into the trade deadline. Plus, this time of year, I feel like there's teams that are probably more likely to take the stance of, well, or a hard stance on what they're willing to give up, because, well, we have options. We have guys in-house that we can go to. As you get close to a trade deadline, then, you know, weaknesses become glaring and needs become pretty pointed, and then maybe that changes what teams are willing to come off of and to make a deal.
Nolan Arenado is the guy that seems most likely to be traded. There's been some talk that the Cardinals want to shed a lot of that salary while also getting a respectable return back for him. Is that a legit possibility, or is this going to be one of those things where a team either picks up a lot of salary or a team gives back a solid prospect, but both those things can't happen together?
That's what I think makes that complicated is, you know, people want to say, well, you need to make sure you get, you know, whether it's a top pitching prospect or whatever it is that you said you feel like, you know, you should be able to get for Nolan Arenado. But then it's, well, the amount of years and the amount of money that's left, unless you're eating some of that, maybe that the team that's acquiring him is less likely to come off of that or to give you what you're looking for, especially considering, you know, last year was one of his least productive years since he's been in the majors. He's in getting into his, mid-30s. And so to say that you're going to absorb those years and all the money and then give up a top prospect or, somebody who's, close to big league ready, then that might be a hard sell. Now, if they're willing to, maybe come off of, whatever expectation is on what level of prospect, or if they're, willing to, do something to sort of offset some of that money, then maybe that does change the return. So I think that's what makes it a difficult negotiation, and it's going to depend on really, the team that you're negotiating with, what they're willing to give, the sort of the back and forth. And then the other X factor is, he can always turn down the trade too. So that's why I think that's a lot of moving parts to that potential, move there.
We're talking with Lynn Worthy from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, previewing the winter meetings, which begin on Monday down in Dallas. Do you think the Cardinals pull something off, whether it is trading Arenado, whether, Steven Matz is another name that's out there a whole lot, maybe there's something else out there? Do you think that when everything wraps up on Thursday morning that we're going to be getting out of there and we're going to have something legit to talk about when it comes to the Cardinals?
I'm not sure if it's going to get done by then, just because it feels like a lot of things have sort of been in a holding pattern because, you've got some big names in the Major League Baseball free agent market who are still not made decisions yet. I mean, I feel like, Juan Soto is going to have a ripple effect, whether that means, teams who are in on him and who sort of like, set money aside, that once he decides where he's going and there's teams who are out of that contention are going to allocate those funds somewhere else. Whether that means he's, sort of setting a market for other free agents who want to sort of slot their value based off of what he gets. Either way, I feel like that, things like that, Alex Bregman, especially in the third base market, which maybe has a trickle-down effect to teams who might be interested in Nolan Arenado. So I feel like there's other things that will affect whether or not the Cardinals are, able to sort of like, execute some of the things that we think they might be working on by the time you get through the winter meetings. And then, and obviously after that, I mean, you still have a good chunk of time between that and when it's, really spring training and when you really get into the nitty gritty part of, setting rosters. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's, if nothing gets pulled, the trigger doesn't get pulled on anything next week. But maybe that's where the ball starts rolling as far as other things start happening, and then you start to see things move.
It is interesting how so many things can be connected, because a team like the Yankees might be on Juan Soto, and if Soto goes somewhere else, well, then all of a sudden they might have a renewed interest in Bregman where they're not so totally interested in him. If Soto goes there, like, just – you don't connect Soto and Bregman, but you do in a way, and then that impacts Arenado. Just, I think you're right that Soto is that first domino, but it really impacts a lot of other things across Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and you don't know necessarily how teams plan to pivot on some of these things, and I mean, I'm sure they've thought through multiple, scenarios, but I think there is a lot of interconnectedness, and then, teams maybe in a holding pattern right now, maybe they're lining things up, but they're still waiting to see if, plan A doesn't come through the way they thought, then how do you sort of like move off of that, and what's going to be the next move that you make to sort of fill in the gaps from, not getting the guy that maybe you had targeted. So yeah, I think a lot of things, once the ball starts rolling, then things start to move in a lot of different ways, a lot of different places, and then you start to see things trickle down. But I feel like it's one of those things where you need that first initial, domino to fall, and then things sort of fall in line from there.
Last thing for you, and just kind of very generally speaking, we've seen, since the last time we talked with you, the Cardinals made the Rob Serfolio hire, and then this past week they hired three directors coming in from different organizations. We were all at that press conference where there was the talk about this year being a focus on player development. Now we're starting to see the names that are going to be holding very large roles in that reset. Do you like the names, and do you like the moves that the Cardinals have made so far when it comes to that?
From what, obviously you're sort of looking at resumes at this point and just sort of, what you can glean about their track records. But, yeah, I think just in terms of modernizing their setup, I think it's a good sign. I mean, some of it is also just getting back to sort of a baseline level of things that they had or positions they had in place and the personnel they had going before the pandemic. I mean, you know, come out of the pandemic, obviously, you also had minor league contraction right before the pandemic. So there was, you know, you lose some positions there, but then also the Cardinals just didn't, reinstitute some spots that they seems like they're now finally doing. So I think that is a positive sign. Obviously, time will tell exactly how that plays out. But I mean, based off of, you know, you look at Chaim Bloom's track record and you can look at when he was in Boston, like they really beefed up a lot of the personnel, not just coaches, but, you know, coordinators, a lot of different, you know, performance staff, a lot of those things in Boston. Going back to, you know, when I was in Kansas City, I think that was one of the things that happened, like with the Royals, was they modernized their minor league system not long or going into the pandemic. And then a lot of the guys that are their core players right now that, you know, made a playoff run, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, MJ Melendez, Michael Massey, a lot of those guys were either just coming into the farm system or in the lower levels, and they benefited from that, and you see them having success in the major league. So I think it's a positive sign, but time will tell exactly how that plays out.
He is Lynn Worthy, covers the Cardinals for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. You can follow along with him on Twitter at LWorthySports. Lynn, thanks so much for the time. Hopefully we'll see you at the baseball winter meetings. I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Very good. That's Lynn Worthy joining us on the program. Appreciate him taking some time with us. We'll switch gears. We'll talk some Blues hockey. They win again last night as they come up with the victory against the Flames in overtime 4-3. They have won all but one game that Jim Montgomery has coached, and they have points in every single game that Jim Montgomery has coached. The sample size still small, but it is getting larger, and it is notable what the Blues are doing. We'll hear a little bit from Jim Montgomery as the Blues practiced earlier today. We'll do that coming up in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. At 8 o'clock, we'll have the Gas House Gang, which we record Monday through Friday at 12 noon, doing it live via the KMOX social media channel. So whether it's a YouTube, I would suggest to you, subscribe to the KMOX Sports YouTube, but you can watch it on Twitter, you can watch it on Facebook, and then make it into a radio show that we air at night. So that's going to be coming up this evening at 8 o'clock. Tonight's program featuring myself and Bernie Miklas for an hour. The Blues get another win yesterday. They are, 4-0-1 since Jim Montgomery took over. It's remarkable what they've been able to do. They have at least 1 point in every game, and they've won 4 of the 5 games. Colton Parayko, what a 48 hours for him, named to Team Canada for the Four Nations tournament that's coming up. Then he scores the OT winner last night. Robert Thomas had a nice game, goal, couple assists. Pavel Buchnevich got back into the lineup. He scored. Zach Bolduc scored. There might be nobody who has benefited more from the coaching change than Bolduc. He was being a healthy scratch, like a young guy who just wasn't getting opportunities under Drew Bannister. And now he has had some really, really good performances and big moments for the Blues since Montgomery has it taken over. So when you go on these longer road trips, the goal is to win as many games as possible. But kind of the secondary goal or the thing that you can do to try to make that happen is you stack up wins early, because it's harder to win games at the end of road trips, and that's what the Blues have been able to do. They've won the first 2 games of this 4-game road trip. Not that they're playing with house money. They've still got a little bit of a hole that they need to dig out of, but pretty much at any point, no matter what, they are in a spot where this is a perfectly fine road trip. They've won at least 2 games here, and we'll see what they can do. They're going to get back at it tomorrow as they match up against Edmonton. That means Dylan Holloway, Philip Broberg, a couple guys who were with Edmonton last year. Obviously, a lot was made of the offer sheets, and they are now with the Blues, and they'll get the opportunity to face off against their former team. Jim Montgomery did speak with the media earlier today. That was kind of the the main storyline of his media session today, just Broberg and Holloway and what they're going to do coming up tomorrow. And Montgomery spoke generally about those two individuals, what they're bringing to the Blues, and what it means for them to match up against their former team.
Well, what I like about both these young men is they're hockey players. Like, how much they love working on their game, their craft, getting better. During meetings, team meetings, you can see them nodding, like, because they're studying. They want to get better. They want to know, you know, what they can do to help the team. So that's the thing that jumps out at me in my, I don't know, 10 days, is, I don't know what it's been, with them. And I think, you know, coming back here, obviously it's going to be emotional and it's going to be a new experience for them. Like it is for every player in the league when you switch teams. But if Wayne Gretzky can switch teams, anyone can switch teams in this league.
That is true. Of course, we saw that for a very short amount of time here in St. Louis with Gretzky. Let's get into specifically Broberg and Holloway and what he's seen from them, because those are a couple individuals that he doesn't have a previous relationship with. Obviously, there's been so much talk about how Montgomery was able to walk right into the room and really just not have much of a period of time of learning the team because he knows so many guys from when he was an assistant. Well, there's a few guys on the team that weren't around before. That includes Broberg and Holloway. So Montgomery's been learning about him. He likes what he sees so far. Was asked about Broberg, and he talked about the different things and different characteristics that he has that makes him potentially a very special player.
His physical gifts, I think, are very evident, his skating. But his stick, defensively and offensively, he always just seems to be in the way. He's always in the right spot. So his hockey sense combined with his physical gifts makes him a very valuable 200-foot defenseman.
How about for Holloway? Montgomery says he's doing a lot of things right now quite well that's resulting in him having success.
He's tenacious. He wants to have an impact on the game. His ability to reload, to get above pucks defensively, you know, allows us to swarm teams, and then, you know, his ability to go the other way and drive pucks wide. He's not afraid of going to hard scoring areas, and I think that's why he's had success so far this year. And I think his confidence has grown. He's getting significantly more ice time.
It's notable just how, you know, Montgomery's been on the job for a week and a half, and in so many ways it feels like he's the long-term coach of the Blues. I mean, this is just a guy who, obviously, he was a fit with the organization, comfortable with the organization, had the relationships with so many people. He was asked about how, you know, a week and a half in, he's really established himself in his role, and he was asked about how it's going and how he's feeling still very early on into his Blues head coaching tenure.
It's been a lot of fun. You know, it's different. I've never been through this experience in the middle of the season, and you really dive in and, like, I always say this to, you know, people that I'm close with, is like, I'm trying to catch my breath, but it doesn't seem like I can. And I'm loving it because it's just like, what's on next? Not getting a lot of sleep just because the brain doesn't stop working. When you kind of get in a rhythm with your staff and your players and your structure, you kind of be able to organize and plan your day really well. And right now, it just seems like it's from one thing to another, but the routine is starting to get there.
It's interesting. When you lose, I've lost a job in my life. It's never a fun experience. And I think, at least for me, when that happened, and I think many people can relate to that, when it happens, it's jarring. It's shocking. Like, it's kind of an attack on you. You start doing all this reflecting upon if you could have done anything differently, if it's your fault, if it's their fault. Like, there's just all these emotional type thoughts going through your mind. Well, for Montgomery, while that absolutely can be the case, he said because it was such a quick turnaround from him losing the job in Boston to getting the job in St. Louis, that never really had like that regrouping time, I guess you could say, after everything went down in Boston.
I didn't get the unemployment check, you know. Didn't even get an opportunity to fill out the paperwork, which I'm grateful for. You know, that being said, you know, when the opportunity arose, I don't know if mentally I was out of the state of, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? What could I have done better to keep the job I had? And then when this came, all of a sudden, you know, the blood starts pumping, like here's a new opportunity, and start looking at everything that is exciting about, you know, the Blues organization and the people inside it.
It's interesting to think about. I mean, this guy was the head coach of the Boston Bruins 2.5 weeks ago, and now it feels like he's been the coach of the Blues. Like, he's just such a great fit, and he walks in. This, it's funny how things work out in life, and this one worked out this way, and everybody's probably better for it. We've discussed this previously. He probably wasn't long for Boston. They had made some overtures towards him about a contract extension, which I don't think he engaged with very much. So if it became clear in Boston that he probably wasn't, my conspiracy theory on this is he was always going to be the Blues head coach next season. That there was an understanding and a belief that, you know, if the Bruins were coming to him about a contract extension and he was rebuffing those overtures as has been previously reported to me, and just how quickly it got done with the Blues, to me it feels like this is always going to happen. He was always going to end up as the Blues coach. It just so happens that it happens a quarter of the way through this season, as opposed to waiting to the beginning of next season. But all that being said, still, he lost his job. And it's not an easy thing to go through, but it becomes a whole lot easier when, for him, this is clearly a better situation. This isn't comparing the Blues and the Bruins like from a big picture standpoint. For Jim Montgomery, being the Blues coach is a much better spot than being the Bruins coach. And there's stuff that he's going through right now. His wife and his kids are still in Boston, and they're going to finish out the school year before eventually coming back to St. Louis. And, man, that's tough. That is tough. I've done that before. I remember when I moved from Colorado to Milwaukee, I was there for months while my wife was still back in Colorado. And that was as challenging of a period of my life as I've ever had. I would not wish that on anybody. It is challenging to go through something like that. But when all is said and done, he's going to be better off for it. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the show. Coming up just after 7 o'clock, we are going to be joined by Ben Arnett, sports director at KOMU-TV in Columbia. We're going to preview a really big college basketball game that's going to be going on Sunday for Missouri. They match up against Kansas. I was bummed on a couple levels the other day when Kansas lost. First off, it's hard to beat a really good team when they're coming off an unexpected loss. That's the main thing. So I want to see Missouri give Kansas a game coming up on Sunday. And I think that there's a possibility that Missouri could win that game, especially with it being in Columbia. It means so much. But the fact that Kansas is coming off a loss to Creighton their last time out, like they're just not going to lose two games in a row. So that was the thing. When I saw Kansas lose on Wednesday, I thought that is that's not so good for Missouri. So we'll see. And then there's a college basketball tonight of note. Illinois is in action. They open up Big Ten play as they take on Northwestern. Call me whatever you want to call me. I don't like these random conference games still early on in the season. And the Big Ten's not the only league that does it. But like for Illinois, they're going to play back-to-back league games here. They're going to play Northwestern tonight, and then they're going to match up against Wisconsin coming up on Tuesday. And then they're going to go wrap up their non-conference schedule for the rest of December. Outside of like extreme situations, I just like go play your non-conference schedule, get your non-conference schedule done, and then jump into conference play. Two random conferences. So much of what happens for you is you're judged upon your conference record. That gets you your seeding in the conference tournament and everything. And this early on in the season, you're still building to who you are. So I don't know. It's not a huge gripe. I just sometimes part of my job is to complain about things that I don't like. And this can go on the list. I do not like these random college basketball, conference games happening, and then jumping back to the non-conference before eventually going to conference play for good. Do not like that whatsoever. All right, we'll talk about the Missouri and Kansas game. We'll do that with Ben Arnett. He joins us after the 7 o'clock news right here on KMOX.